Hello, my name is Carrie.
And my name's Jen, and today we're in part three of Living in the Danger Zone, the Stoning of Stephen, so stay tuned.
Welcome back to New Every Day. We're so glad that you've tuned in. I know I say that every week, but really, we're so glad that you've tuned in. And Jen, we are in part three.
Yep.
Living in the Danger Zone.
Yep.
We're talking about Stephen. We're in Acts chapter 7, and we've looked at the setting leading up to Stephen giving his sermon,
yes,
which is like a synopsis of the Old Testament and how he highlighted the faithfulness of God, the rebellion of people's hearts, and how they believed that the temple was extremely significant, which it was in the Old Testament, mm-hmm, but he's kind of turning that on its head and saying, no, it's not. It's actually about the Lord.
It's about the Lord.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting because we can allow our religiosity, the way we go about practicing worshiping God, to actually become greater than God itself.
Yes,
and that's what, and that is what this whole passage is about, is that they had allowed the act of worship to overshadow whom they were worshiping. And you touched on that verse last week. Who is greater, the temple itself or the one who created?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The people who created the temple. And people don't like to hear that because they like their own little boxes. They, you know, I want to show up Sunday morning, 10 a.m. We are going to welcome one another. We're going to sing some songs. We're going to pray. We are going to have a sermon. We're going to have a response, and we're going to sing. We're going to go home.
And I'm going to feel good about it the rest of the week.
Yep.
And you know what? I'm going to be honest. I've been in that camp. I've been in that camp when I felt that I've been too busy to do other things, but at least I showed up.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's good to show up. And that's not to say, well, if you've already messed it up, then really what's the point in going? Don't bother going to church. Or like, if you've already muffed it up this long, then don't bother reading the Bible. You know, might as well start fresh on Monday.
Yeah.
But that's not the way. And every time, Jen, I've felt, oh, I'm just like, I'm spinning my wheels, and you know what, I'm gonna get it all together. Then I'm gonna sit down and I'm gonna start feeling good again. I'm gonna be honest, I was there yesterday.
Right.
But thank God that today is a new day and His mercies are new. And I don't have to wait to get to that place, Jen.
No. No, and that's just, and that's what this whole thing, I keep coming back.
Yeah.
I keep touching the Bible because it's like, this is where it is. And that's what Stephen is saying. He's like, he didn't say, you don't have to have it all together. You don't have to come to the temple to worship God. He's already leading you, guiding. He's there. And I just, I'm going to put in a shameless plug for one of our partners. This is from audible.com. So if go to our partners page, check them out if you want to support us in any way.
NewEveryday.tv.
Yeah. Laura Story wrote a book called When God Doesn't Fix Things.
Okay.
Yeah. And she's like, I thought my story had to be perfect before I could share it. And she's like, God called me to share my story in the midst of the brokenness. Hmm. And she's like, but it's not finished yet. It's not all shiny and glossy. And he's like, no, I want you to share it now because this is where people are at.
Yeah.
And like you said, sometimes we think, well, I'm going to put it in, or I just don't feel like it. And Stephen is like, he's calling us back to, it's not about, you don't have to have it all together, but know that God is the one that will help you get it together or to worship Him. Like, we think we have to get it together so we can worship God. We have to get it together so we can read Scripture. Instead of saying, no, I have to get it together so I need to read the Word. I have to get it together so I have to, you know, get involved in a small group or go to church or find a Christian person to talk to. I want to get it together, so I got to seek God, rather than I have to get it together in order to.
Yeah, and I always come back to that verse that it's the love of Christ that compels us, because we're convinced that He died for us, that we should no longer live for ourselves, but live for Him who died and was raised again.
Yes.
Like, that's just my go-to. Like, He's already done the work. The striving is done. I need to walk in the identity of who he's called me to be.
Yes.
That he does live in me, and this is how I act because I am.
Yes. And they didn't like it.
And they didn't like it.
Because that means full surrender. That means looking. Yeah. That means that life isn't going to look the same every day. That means I'm willing to do what God is asking me to. Just like Abraham and just like Moses. Are we willing? And they didn't have the temple. And so they actually worshiped God wholeheartedly before the tabernacle and the temple were even created. And that's what Stephen is saying. He's like, it's not about going to the temple. It's about having the relationship with God. So we're going to read, if you want to read from verse 54. So this is 7:54 to verse 8, verse 1.
In the book of Acts.
In the book of Acts.
So here's 54. The Jewish leaders were infuriated by Stephen's accusation, and they shook their fists at him in rage. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed steadily into heaven and saw the glory of God. And he saw Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. And he told them, "Look, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing in the place of honor at God's right hand." Then they put their hands over their ears and began shouting. They rushed at him and dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. His accusers took off their coats and laid them at the feet of a young man named Saul. As they stoned him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." He fell to his knees, shouting, "Lord, don't charge them with this sin." And with that, he died. Saul was one of the witnesses, and he agreed completely with the killing of Stephen.
Yikes.
It feels like, like the end of a story. You know, like he told this story, and now it's like his is done.
Yeah. It's interesting because it says, when they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth. This is NIV version. And I thought, how often has somebody said something to me about God?
Yeah.
And I haven't liked it. And I've actually gotten angry at them in my spirit. And I chose to get angry before I was willing to listen.
Yeah.
And it happens all the time.
Yeah.
Like it happens all the time in our regular life. Like we get like somebody says something and we get angry first.
Now, why do you think that is? Do you think it's you're actually angry because the nature of God is not what you thought? Or because you wanted your way to be right?
Yes and yes.
Okay.
Because we don't actually know God. Like, we don't surrender because we don't trust. And we don't trust because we don't know God. And so the way I understand God, because some people think, well, God is a good and loving and kind God who's going to look after all of my needs. And we think, well, yes, that is true. But the flip side of that is, but he works all things together for the good of those. So am I willing to think that he can work all things together, including my hurts and my pains, in order to bring people to God? Well, no, a loving God wouldn't allow that to happen. But this is where we don't understand the fullness of who God is. We only want to pick out the certain parts of who God is. So as soon as, you know, somebody challenges us in the way that we think about God, we get angry, because I think sometimes there's fear associated.
Yeah. Yeah. What's going to change in my life? You're changing my customs.
Yes. Oh. I think sometimes we can feel a sense of pride.
Yeah, totally.
Like, I know who God is. Yes. God, like, I know God. And it's like, well, if God could be fully known, then he wouldn't be so awesome and amazing. And so I think there's fear, there's pride, there's, you know, an ungodly independence that just says, well, I know how to worship God. Rather than actually surrendering it. And that's where it goes back to the Isaiah 66 passage where it says, but a humble person, you know, are we willing to surrender that to God?
Yes.
And in this passage, in the previous passage that we read last week, it says you are stiff-necked people.
Mm-hmm.
And they get angry because he's calling them out. He's living in the danger zone.
Yeah.
And we don't like to live, well, some people like to live in, I try to avoid living in the danger zone at all costs. It's not a comfortable place to me. Some people just think it's wonderful, not me. And so here they are, and he's standing now because he could have relinquished at any point, but he didn't.
Hmm.
So why didn't he? And we'll be back right after this.
Jeff Weston.
Yeah, man.
You're building a brand new, beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? You need hosting. One of the things about a hosting account is you don't want to have limitations put on your website.
It's true.
How much hard drive space do you have? How many email accounts? How many domains can point to it? Well, we've got an amazing deal for you. For a very limited time, cat5.tv/dreamhost, for just $5 and a bit of change per month, you are going to get unlimited website hosting, unlimited email accounts on that hosting service. You are also going to receive a free domain name.
Ooh.
So your own .com.
Nice.
To put that amazing website that you've been working on
there.
If you want to build a WordPress site, fine. Sign up. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Just don't put Panama Papers on it.
Just don't do it. But hey, it's a great deal, folks. Best deal you're going to find. $5 and change per month. Go to cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back. Thank you for staying with us. And Jen, what was the question you posed right before break?
Is why didn't he relinquish his stance?
Didn't Stephen? Well, because you know what? If you were looking at this from a worldly perspective, it might make sense. You know, Stephen, just say, yeah, okay, got it. And then take off and keep doing good work and keep spreading the word and keep doing A, B, and C. And
yes.
Then that's, you're still going to be alive to do the work of God.
Which makes total sense.
And you know, there's that verse in the Bible that says, like, who can praise you from the grave? God, like, you sustain us. You give us life.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
It does not make sense.
You know, die.
So then the question is, but why did he then? Because, and this is it, people always have a choice when they stand before their persecutor. They have a choice to either give in or to stand firm.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how many times throughout Scripture, beginning to end, that God says, stand firm. Hmm. In Old Testament with Moses, he said, stand firm and I will fight for you.
Yeah.
And then in Ephesians, when he's talking about the armor of God, which is also a battle, he's like, and all you need to do is stand. And so Stephen is not worried about he defending himself.
No, and it's interesting, as soon as he starts off his sermon, I mean, he talks about God. He says, listen to me, our glorious God.
Mm-hmm.
It's right back. He has his eyes on the prize.
Yes.
He's looking unto God and he's sharing the perspective that they really need. Because if he had taken a step back and defended himself, where would that story end? Like, yeah. He doesn't say, oh, well, this man is always speaking against the Holy Temple. Well, if he said, well, no, I'm not, because I said this and I did this. But he's saying instead, God said this and God did this and God will do this.
Yes, and that's when you hear apologeticists, people who do apologetics, they will often say, you cannot dispute the word of God. You have to keep going back to the word of God because that's the foundation.
Yeah.
Like Billy Graham will always say, go back
apologist.
To the yeah, apologist. Go back to the word of God because that is the firm foundation. Like, don't defend yourself. Mm-hmm. Let the word of God defend mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. And that's what Stephen did. He just went right back from the very beginning, declared who God was, and walked them through Scripture. He did not defend himself at all. He was just putting out there what God said for him to put out.
Yeah.
And then let God deal with the outfall. And I think that's one of our, you know, there he is standing in the danger zone. In between, literally, in between life and death, because they're gnashing their teeth at him. And I don't know about you, but as soon as you start, like, grinding your teeth at people and clenching your fists, like, it takes a lot to actually unclench your fists. Like, because that adrenaline has started going, and, like, it's hard to sort of...
Yeah, or if you're on the receiving end and someone's doing that, you're either going to fight them... Or you're going to take off. Like, there's no other option.
And
you're not going to hug it out.
And then he says, full of the Holy Spirit, looking up to heaven, he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing there. And then he actually declared it, which made them even more mad. Because he wasn't backing down. He wasn't willing to come under what they thought or how they thought they should worship God. He was like, no, like, this is what Jesus said we should do. And so often we back down. We sort of just go... okay, and we just turn away rather than standing firm and saying, no, like, this is what the Word of God says. But that's the fear inside of our own heart. And that's probably one of the things that has challenged me from this passage, is that Stephen had a choice to back down, and he didn't, because he wasn't going to deny Christ. He wasn't going to deny the truth that, that God had put in his heart. And Paul went on to say, and we're going to get on to Paul in a little bit, but for me, to live is Christ and to die is gain.
What does that really mean?
Yeah.
And Jesus said, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground, it can't.
Yeah.
It can't be multiplied, essentially, right?
Yeah.
Like, and that's exactly what happened.
Yes.
With Stephen, and just to draw a similar comparison, like when Jesus was on the cross, he knew, in Philippians it says, but for the joy set before him, he endured the cross.
Yes.
He had his eyes on the prize. And as they stoned Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And Jesus, you know, he said the same thing. He knew what he was going for.
Yeah.
And Lord, don't charge them with this sin. And Jesus also said, Father, forgive them. And
yes.
It's so awesome to see the children of God, like to see Christians emulating what Jesus did for his glory.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we're just going to say, thank you, God, for your glory and your grace that can help us stand firm. So we're going to end it there. We're going to finish off the story next week, because we asked the question, what good is it that he would die? Because why, you know, he could tell so many more people. And that's the question we're going to answer next week. So we'll see you then. Bye-bye.